Please turn with me, your Bibles, first to the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verse 14. It's found on page 1203 in the Pew Bibles. Romans 10. Acts, Romans, then 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Acts 10. Then we'll turn back to the gospel account of Matthew and continue our series through that in Matthew 10. First Romans 10, beginning at verse 14. People of God, hear now the very word of God. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now let us turn back to the book of Matthew, chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. It's found on page 1036. Our text will be verses 40 through 42, but we'll read some before and some after to get good context. Matthew 10. Verse 34, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And our text takes us back to chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Congregation, we continue our series through Matthew. We come to the end of this chapter, chapter 10. It's a chapter where Jesus commissions the 12 apostles. Now, much of the address we've seen this commissioning has been cautioning them about the opposition, the earthly hardships they'll face. This end, verses 40 through 42, it's a wonderful encouragement of the blessedness of what God is doing through his servants. There's blessings in Christian fellowship. Now, we think here, the apostles, and we make connections then between that time and our own time. And we think of a word that's often used, that of clergy, what we would call ministers of word and sacrament. A clergy or ministers, what some people think, they think of that as a way of people to make themselves seem important. Or maybe they think of clergy, persons like that, spiritual leaders who are more sensitive to spiritual matters than the rest of mankind. Maybe even to serve as a go-between. Between humans and divine. The Roman Catholic Church attributes to its chief clergy, the Pope, the same authority the Apostle Peter had. Now, in our society, even we see a spreading out of that to, in the home church movement, we brought that up a number of times, where fathers can do the same thing ministers do, preach, administer baptism, administer the Lord's Supper. Now, in reformational churches, we don't usually use the word clergy. We usually use the word minister. You know, clergy is more for Roman Catholic, Anglican, Episcopalian. There's nothing more holy about clergy than laity. Nothing more spiritual about them. They're not a unique class of persons having spiritual authority over the church members because of who they are. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all God's people. All believers are saints, not just a few. That aspect of clergy or of ministers, of office bearers. And we've seen this morning even. Well, it comes out here again, right at the end, as Jesus is concluding his commissioning of the apostles. We shouldn't fear them. We should rejoice in them. We shouldn't fear any of God's people. Instead, we should rejoice in the fellowship we have as Christians. And so we should receive his servants. God blesses those who receive his servants. That's what we see in this passage. And first, we consider from verse 40, we start with apostles. Blessed with apostles. Verse 40 says, whoever receives you, receives me. Whoever receives me, receives him who sent me. Now, from what we can tell, the early part of the Old Testament had fathers, perhaps sons, performing religious tasks that were later taken up by the priests, especially the offering of sacrifices. Now, with Sinai, with God having delivered Israel at the hand of Moses, he established the old covenant, the Levitical priesthood. Well, now that the Levitical priesthood is done, well, do we go back? Go back to fathers and sons, whoever. Well, we don't see that here. God still has, and again, we've seen this morning somewhat, God has office bearers. Something different. In this chapter, Jesus has pulled to himself 12 disciples, 12 of perhaps dozens, maybe hundreds of followers he had, followers that included men and women, but he called to himself 12 males, and he authorized these 12, as we read in verse 1, he gave them authority, and then he sent them. And that's key, what Jesus is doing here with these apostles. He gives them authority, and he sends them. That word for sent, there in verse 40, is also the same word for sent in Romans 10, verse 15 that we read. That sending has significance. Jesus did something unique with these 12 men. His sending these 12 men, specific authority, specific calling. Now, as we've gone through this chapter, we've seen that, well, sometimes the teaching is for these 12, but sometimes we can make it broader, right? But here, we do narrow it in upon these 12. These men, these apostles, they spoke for Jesus. They wrote for Jesus. They were Jesus' representatives on earth. When they spoke as an apostle, Jesus spoke. When they wrote as an apostle, Jesus wrote. Children, think if your mother is wanting to call you and siblings for supper. Well, she might tell you, hey, go call your brother and sister, tell them it's time to eat. Your mother has authorized you, hasn't she, to do a task. And your brother and sister, when they hear you, well, they better listen, they better obey, because it's not you, it's your mother speaking through you. Well, all the more with the apostles. Jesus sent them. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives the apostles receives Jesus. You say, well, that's all fine and well, but what does that mean for us? There are no apostles surviving yet today. Now, there are groups out there that claim to be apostles or have apostles or persons to be apostles. They are false. Anyone today who claims to be apostle is false. Do not listen to them. So how does this apply today? The writings have survived. The apostolic teaching is with us today. Where? Right here. And we don't have anything recorded that Jesus personally wrote. In fact, there's only one time where we read in the Bible that Jesus wrote it all. And that's where, remember the woman caught in adultery? And the Jewish religious leaders took her to Jesus. And John tells us he was writing in the dirt. That's the only time we have recorded that Jesus wrote. We have no writings from Jesus himself. But we have what the apostles wrote. And those associated with the apostles, the New Testament. And so we receive these 12 apostles, those sent by Christ, when we take the Bible in our hands, when we read it, when we study it, when we memorize it, when we learn it, when we submit to it, when we believe it, when we obey it. That's how you and I receive these apostles. It's taking what God has had them write down and having it be a rule for what we believe, how we live, both within this church as an institution and for every moment of our lives. You who believe what's recorded, what's taught in the New Testament, you are receiving these men. Whoever receives you receives me. And receiving them, you receive Christ. And receiving Christ, whom do you receive? God himself. And in that is a great blessing. It's no less than the kingdom of God. Righteousness, eternal life. Because what did the apostles herald? The coming of the kingdom, that it has come. The redemption that God has brought in Jesus. The forgiveness of sins to all those who believe in Christ, who shed his blood on Golgotha's cross. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus ascended into heaven. Really, truly, that's the message they proclaimed, that they wrote. God's promise of eternal life to all those who believe that good news, it comes to all those who receive the apostles' teaching, who receive the apostles, and so receive Christ, and so receive God. If it's not Jesus who speaks when these apostles speak what they wrote, then who would dare to promise eternal life to someone? Who would dare to promise forgiveness of sins to someone? But the apostles did write for Jesus. He sent them. So that when you hear, when you read, when you receive what the apostles wrote, you're receiving Christ himself. You're receiving the very words of God. And just as children, you hear the words of your mother in the voice of your brother or sister who's called you to supper, how much more do we hear the words of the living God in the Bible as it's read by us, proclaimed to us? Contrary to what our society thinks, brothers and sisters, these are not the words of mere men, mere humans. It's the very word of God. And the church has been blessed with the apostles. They bring us the word of Christ, who brings us the blessedness of God. And again then, how should we treat this? Read it. We're finishing up another school year. Children, maybe done with kindergarten, done with first grade, you've learned to read. You've learned you can read God's word. Do that your whole life long. Very words of God. Receive them. Receive Christ. Receive God. What a blessing. But there's even more that Jesus brings out here. Not only blessed and blessing with apostles, but our second point, blessed with office bearers. Verse 41. So verse 41, Jesus says, the one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. The one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. So Jesus is broadening it beyond the apostles. Apostles were verse 40 now. Verse 41, prophets and righteous persons. What's he speaking about here? Well, prophets, it's pretty easy, right? They're those who receive revelation from God. They were not the same rank as apostles in the sense because apostles took in the ruling aspect too. But prophecy was a gift. It was a blessing from the Lord upon the church. A righteous person, well, that's a little harder to nail down. We know there's no one righteous in himself, in herself, other than Jesus. We're all sinners. But throughout the Bible, reference is made to someone who is righteous. In view is that God declares to be righteous all those who entrust themselves to Jesus. But also, there's an aspect that comes out. The person is known to live a godly life, an upright life. They're walking with God, so to speak. Now, those persons, like prophets, they're in one sense a lower rank than apostles. These righteous persons, unlike prophets, don't receive revelation from God. Yet probably still there's a position of authority. And so with prophets and righteous persons, it seems there is that aspect of office still. Not office of apostle, but office. Not some super spiritual status, but office. How do we get that? Because of that word receive. The one who receives a prophet's reward, receive a righteous person's reward. That receive, it ties into verse 40. Whoever receives you receives me, receives him who sent me. That sending, that receiving. So it probably has that aspect of office involved there. And so in verse 41, we don't have apostles, but we have office bearers, which today in the church, ministers, elders, and deacons. They don't receive revelation, fresh revelation from God, and they ought never claim that. But they're given positions of authority, of service, offices through whom God works within his church. They are, as we move in our Romans reading, those who are sent by God. Again, that word sent comes up. Sent, commissioned to do a task, to fill an office in the church. And as we were reminded this morning, 1 Timothy 3, office bearers are to live upright lives, aren't they? Which relates to this being called a righteous person. So to receive an office bearer, what does that mean then? Well, you receive an office bearer when you acknowledge his office, minister, elder, or deacon, and you listen. You don't disregard him. You don't ignore him. You submit to the authority that is there in that office. So to receive a deacon means, among other things, you listen to his admonitions, his exhortations about using your gifts, financial, time, whatever it might be. You provide him as God has prospered you so he can help and oversee those helping those who are in need. That's receiving a deacon. To receive an elder means, among other things, you listen to the admonitions, the exhortations about what to believe, how to live, doctrine and life. That's what the elders oversee. You treat him with respect because of the office he holds. You don't quarrel with him. You don't try to take the role of authority on yourself. But you submit to that. To receive a minister means, among other things, you listen to the teaching, the proclaiming. You come to worship. You're not contentious. You're teachable. And think back to our reading in Romans. Those who call on the Lord do so because they believe. They believe because they heard. They heard because someone preached. They preached because someone sent. Now, so then, receiving these office bearers, receiving them, you receive an office bearer's reward. You receive a prophet's reward. You receive a righteous person's reward. Now, again, we're going to tie this in. I mean to keep bringing this up, but again, the aspect of office, many in our land are appalled that we have only males fill that. But look here. The reward of receiving an office bearer, that reward is not to the office bearer only, but those who receive him. So ladies, God doesn't permit you to hold office in the church, but you still share in the reward of office bearers as you receive them. You're blessed. You receive a reward of an office bearer. The one who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. So let's apply that. The one who receives a deacon, who receives an elder because he is a deacon, because he is an elder, will receive a deacon's reward, an elder's reward. You don't miss out. You don't miss out on any reward, any blessing from the Lord, as long as you receive them. A female who receives the office bearers is blessed as much as the male office bearer himself. And similarly, males who are not office bearers receive a blessing as they receive the office bearers. So again, this is just even more to say, look, females aren't missing out on something. You're not some second-class citizen in the kingdom of heaven. You value, you're blessed. Blessed as much as males are. We are to be content in the station in life God has given us. As we, by his grace, live godly within that station, we can rejoice in God's blessing. But what is this reward he's talking about now? Well, we know it's not a reward we earn. Whether a prophet for prophesying or an office bearer for fulfilling his office or a saint who receives such, we are sinners. Anything we receive good from the Lord, it's by grace. It's by grace. This is a gracious reward. But a gracious reward in accordance with the work of a prophet or an office bearer. Now, Jesus doesn't define here that reward. Elsewhere in Matthew's gospel account, Jesus speaks of a reward, Matthew 5, verse 12, where he says, those who are persecuted are to rejoice, for their reward in heaven is great. He doesn't define what that reward is. Matthew 6, Jesus speaks of those who give for show that they've got their reward already, openly. I think it's fitting to say this reward, though, is in accordance with the work of an office bearer. Now think back to what we saw this morning, 1 Timothy 3:13. Deacons who serve well, they gain great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I think we can say that's part of the reward. It's things related to the office. Think what a prophet does, what an office bearer does. They tell you God's word. They tell you the glory of God's kingdom, the blessedness that Jesus brings of righteousness, of peace and joy. The minister proclaims the good news of the kingdom to you. The elders, they shepherd you rightly in understanding that and living it out in our lives. The deacons exhort us to use our gifts as kingdom citizens for the advancement of the kingdom. As you receive the office bearers and the work they perform, you're built up in the faith. You receive assurance of God's love for you in Christ. You partake of the glories of the kingdom of God. You are living within the reality that God reveals in his word. God's favor for the sake of Christ, eternal life, which we're blessed with even now in this life. Church is not some man-made institution. Church is the place through which God is pushing the kingdom of heaven into this world, where you and I even now taste the glories of the age to come. The church is at the forefront of God's work of renewal as we, by his grace, live as faithful members in the church, receiving the ministry of the office bearers. We receive the glories, the blessings of Christ. As we hear that preached, as we hear it shepherded, that's blessing. That's a wonderful reward. So in a society, in a culture, even a broader church culture, that dismisses the church as an institution, that wants to elevate so much individual Christians, Jesus says, receive the office bearers, ministers, elders, deacons. Be at peace with them. And so be blessed by God. Receive them and receive that reward. Don't go off and do your own thing. There's no blessing in rejecting them. And as you reflect, you see, well, maybe I haven't received them as I ought. Repent of that. And receive. And be blessed with them. But there's even more that Jesus brings out here, this fellowship. And he comes to that in verse 42. Blessed with fellow believers. So there's great blessedness by being a member of a church and actively participating in the life of the church as an institution. Here are the means of grace. Preaching of the gospel of Jesus, the sacraments. As we meet together for corporate worship, we have these. The office bearers seek to shepherd you in the blessedness of the kingdom of heaven. But the blessedness doesn't end once you leave these four walls. It doesn't end at 6:30 or 6:45 in the evening on Sunday. It doesn't end with the official means of grace. It doesn't end with the office bearers. That blessedness is to enter into all of our life, all the labors, and all our interactions with the saints. Jesus said in verse 42, "Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." So he's drawing attention to every saint here. He's saying, again, a disciple, not just an apostle, not just a prophet or righteous person, but a disciple. And even he draws out a little one. A little one. Now, Jesus doesn't mean to say that office bearers are so much greater than ordinary believers. But he expresses to us that even for the so-called least Christian, there's a blessing in interacting with him, with her. And it doesn't even need to be a really showy or great way of serving each other. A cup of cold water. Now, granted, cold water. Granted, in those days, that was a little more than what it is in ours. It's real easy to get a cup of cold water. It was a little harder back then, but still. It brings out refreshment. It doesn't have to be some great act. You don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be super smart or anything like that. Because they're a follower of Jesus, as you serve those who are followers of Jesus, simply because they're a follower of Jesus, you're blessed. No matter who that believer is, no matter how small or great or the act of service, you're blessed. What's this blessing? What's this reward? Again, Jesus doesn't define it. Again, it's not a reward we earn, but it's a gracious reward that God gives in accordance with the service and the aspect of being a kingdom citizen. As we value the kingdom of heaven, as we esteem that as our first, our foremost desire to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And we're given an opportunity to say, look, here is a fellow citizen of that kingdom. And I can give a cup of cold water to him or her. Our connection is strengthened. We're confirmed in the joy of our belonging to the kingdom of God. We're blessed. If someone's seeking a reward to be noticed by man in their hospitality, well, they receive the show, and that's all. If someone's serving because you're aware of the kingdom of God and aware of their place, your place in it, aware of how God's spreading the kingdom in every area, even to water, a cup of cold water, yes, that too is part of the involved in kingdom blessing. And it lasts into eternity. Brothers and sisters, discern the kingdom of God that's spreading to every area of our lives. God didn't send Jesus to confirm this wicked world in sin, to establish you and me in sin. He sent Jesus to suffer and die for sin, to remove it, in his resurrection to bring righteousness, reconciliation, a new life of righteousness and service, love for God, love for neighbor, in all of life. All those who believe in Jesus partake of that righteousness, are citizens of God's kingdom. And evidence of that true faith, that saving faith, it's revealed in receiving the apostles' teaching. You want to read it, you want to know it, you want to learn it, you want to change. Receiving the work of the office bearers, coming to worship, being shepherded, being encouraged and guided in using of gifts. Giving help to a fellow believer in need. That's all living within the kingdom and being blessed by God, the blessedness of his kingdom. That's Jesus' exhortation to you and me today from this passage, brothers and sisters. God blesses those who receive his servants. Therefore, by his grace, trusting in the God who sent them and the Lord who brings the blessedness of the kingdom of heaven, receive God's servants who minister to you. Whether that's the writings, the teachings, the shepherding, and bless fellow believers. And be blessed. May God receive all the praise. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. Christ, thank you for sending the apostles. Thank you that through them we have your word. Perfect. All we need for life and godliness. Thank you, too, that you have given office bearers in this church, in your church, who teach your word, who shepherd us in your word, who guide us in applying the word in the use of gifts. Bless them. And thank you, too, for each other and the opportunities of service. Here is something you are doing unique in this world. Love for others, service, true service. Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you for giving us these rewards, the delight in this fellowship, this communion of saints. And may we be diligent in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.